This year, Mulana Muhammad Kara went into the farms to discuss the slaughter of cattle for Qurbani. Speaking of men's love for cattle in the Quran, Allah says,
زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب.
Now Mulana Kara decided to ask some questions about this animal. Today Mulana spoke to Brother Qasim, who is a commercial cattle farmer.
Can you give us a brief insight into farming as an occupation, and what does beef commercial farming entail?
This is a very good question. Commercial farming as an occupation, with regard to an occupation, Hazrat Adam Islam, the first man on earth, had to eat. So obviously, farming was the first occupation after our deen. Farming was the first occupation, so mankind had to produce food and had to eat. It is the only way human beings can sustain themselves through farming. Obviously, all of us need food, so we have to eat, and it is something that is a very it's a necessity for us. With regard to commercial farming and beef farming, farming is many aspects, segments and categories. When we talk of commercial farming, especially on beef side, you have many different systems. You have a feedlot system, you have a cow calf weaner production system, then you've got stud breeding, producing stud quality animals. You have a system where you're producing animals for reproduction purposes. So yes, it's quite an in-depth and very vast type of business and field.
While we all enjoy steak, it is expensive, right?
Qasim, what actually determines the prices of meat? You mentioned stud breeder. We have the commercial farming sector as well as the stud breeder. What actually determines the price of meat, and how does the auction system work here in South Africa? And I'm going to add one more question to that. Many are asking the question that why is it that Qurbani time, the price of cattle and sheep normally escalates?
With regard to auctions and pricing, and all things being equal, quality is the determining factor of pricing. Young animals, good quality animals, any animal that's going to auction that's in a good, healthy condition, dehorned, generally that's what affects the prices. Supply and demand is a very big influence. The major corporations and companies like Current Beef and Sparta, they're big buyers, so they have a very big influence on the price. Pricing on animals, on livestock, is mostly determined on weight. So whatever the market is, whatever the weight of the animal is, again, depending on age, and whether the animal is a weaner, whether it's a long weaner, whether it's a super, whether it's a dry animal, pregnant animal, all those have an influence on prices.
And we don't just like steak, but we want it nice and tender.
Will I be correct in saying that the age of an animal is an indication of the tenderness of the meat?
Yes, that is true to a certain extent. It all depends on how the animal was handled, and it also depends on what type of feed the animal was put on, what type of ration. Some animals are young and they're off the shelf. Some animals are young and they're coming out of a feedlot. Some animals are getting feed in the shelf, natural grazing as well as production licks or feedlot type of ration. So all that definitely has a very big influence on the tenderness of meat.
Qasim, would I be correct in saying that the most suitable cow for Qurbani are those with 2 to 4 permanent incisors, basically meaning that it's now the cow is 24 to 34 months old?
Yeah, I think that is generally the ruling there. So if, like I said, if you have the option to check yourself, then go ahead and do that. Alternatively, you have to rely on the honesty of the person that is supplying the animal to you.
Different breeds means different quality.
You know, we mentioned also there's many, many types of cattle in South Africa. Simmentaler, you get the Bonsmara, you get the Nguni, etc. So does the breed of the animal have an effect upon the meat quality, Kasim?
Indeed, there's reasons for different breeds. Some breeds put on fat quicker, some breeds don't do that. Some are later maturing, some are early maturing. You get different qualities of meat, and most breed societies claim that their meat is just as good quality as any other meat. But then you do get Angus, you get Wagyu, which are more specialized type of meat, a little bit more expensive, more tender. You know, when an animal, generally, when an animal is slaughtered and hanging and on the hook, whether it's a Brahman, Bonsmara, Beefmaster, Boerfelder, it's very difficult to determine which animal is which for the layman. So obviously the breeds do have an influence on the tenderness of meat and the quality of meat.
When purchasing a cow for Kurbani, and especially if it is your first time, and as was explained, it is an expensive animal, so you want to get best value for your money, but you can get stuck and just not know what to ask the farmer that you are purchasing from.
What are some of the most important questions to ask a farmer or a trader when buying a cow for Kurbani?
Well, the first thing is to find out whether the Kurbani is compliant, is the age correct before negotiating a price. That is the most important aspect of Kurbani, that you buy an animal that is compliant. The rest of it is immaterial. It's more negotiating on the price and you know what type of animal it is. So that is something that is between the buyer and the seller. You know, the question there is very difficult to determine what who's going to say what and what questions are going to be asked.
Farming is an interesting occupation that teaches the farmer a lot of lessons.
Okay. What has farming taught you, Kasim?
Well, farming has taught me a lot. You know, the first thing you learn in farming is patience. Mm-hmm. You learn to put your reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our cattle, our assets, all our implements, our tractors, everything is outside. We can't take anything and lock it up, you know, like you put things in a safe or in your house or in your shop. So all our assets and our wealth is outside. Our assets, our livestock are prone to theft, fires, you know, weather damage. So all those things it makes you more reliant and dependent on the mercy and the help of Allah SWT to protect what you have. And the other thing is, you know, you learn a lot from animals and the patients they have. For example, you know, when working with cattle, we inject them, they get pain. Sometimes we have to dehorn them where you burn the horns out, you know, while they're at a very young age. Sometimes we got to brand animals with a hot iron. And generally, you know, in most cases, after you've worked with the animal then just accepts what you've done and walks away. It doesn't take revenge on you. So, you know, similarly, like in our gene, you know, we just got to accept what this man has put out for us, and not not challenge what we're supposed to do. The other thing is that, you know, I used to always wonder when the ulama used to give lectures and say, you know, you can stand in front of Allah's Maqla and one action of yours can wipe all your good actions out.
Yeah.
And I could never understand that, you know, how can one action wipe everything out? Until one day I had a fire on the farm, and that fire wiped out, you know, most of our feed. And that's when I understood this concept of one action can wipe all your hard work and all your effort out. So yes, farming can teach a person a lot.
Sallallahu Subhanallah.